We heard that Rob Blake has said that Jake Muzzin, I know it's been a miserable season for you guys in Los Angeles, but he's been your best, most consistent player this year in Los Angeles. Have you seen the same thing?
Yeah, I think, you know, you go back to the early part of the year, there was a point, it was probably maybe about 5-7 games into the season that his game really took off and has been very consistent since then. You know, a team that has had a lot of difficulty this year, he's been a really good, consistent player at both ends of the rink. Maybe not put up the offensive numbers, but the team as a whole has struggled. So I think his game, he's played a complete game. You know, he's matured nicely. He's become a leader on this team, and I think he's going to be a great addition to the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's exactly what they need back in the blue line.
Speaking of what you need, everyone's talking about how the Kings were a big, slow team, not built for this version of the NHL. The two players that are coming bring one thing in common. They bring speed. Is this something that the Kings are looking forward to having, injecting these two guys into their lineup? Well, not necessarily right away, but definitely down the line.
Yeah, definitely down the line. The Kings are, you know, they're transitioning. They need to add more speed. You know, I think it's something that Rob Blake and along with Luke Ropes had the last couple of years, that's what they focused on in the draft. You know, the unrestricted free agents, college free agents and such, you know, primarily they're looking for speed. I don't think they're looking for that, you know, that big heavy player that they, you know, that helped them win the cup back in 12 and 14. Collectively as a group, the team, you know, they have become faster through the course of the season. But I think right now they're in a transition, the Kings don't have an identity. So I think it'll take a little bit of time, but this is definitely a big move in that direction, acquiring a first round pick and, you know, a couple of prospects that, you know, that have a little bit of a different skill set than what the Kings have traditionally had in their lineup in the past 5-7 years.
Darryl, I think a lot of people would agree that Drew Doughty's one of the elite defensemen in the NHL. What has Jake Muzzin meant to Drew Doughty's game?
Well, I think, you know, everybody thinks it's easy to play with guys like Drew Doughty and that. And, you know, sometimes it's not because, you know, they play at a level that a lot of people don't understand and they don't see the game the same way. But I think Jake's game has really come along nicely, having played with Drew for so much. I think he's been allowed to learn the game at a different level, and his offensive game is, you know, I think there's a little bit more upside to his offensive game. I think because of the way the Maple Leafs play, I think you'll see his numbers really trend in that direction. But I think probably it's the defensive part of the game that it maybe gets overlooked a little bit. He can be a real difficult player to play against. He's got an edge to his game. He can come up with a big hit. He's got mobility back there. I wouldn't look at him as a big, slow type of guy. I think he's got good mobility for a defenseman that can turn both ways. He's got versatility that he can play both sides. And he can also play in all situations, power play, penalty kill. You can use him as a shutdown guy against the other team's top player. So I think having played so much with Drew Doughty, this has allowed his game to be able to grow in all these different areas.
Darryl, when I look at this trade, I understand that the Kings have to transition and they are in a period of transition, but doesn't a guy like Jake Muzzin fit into that period of transition for the Kings? Because he's not that old. He's 29, a young 29. He's got the mobility that you just talked about to still play in this league, and obviously he brings the noted heavy game that people like as well. So why not transition forward with him? Why move Jake Muzzin at this time?
Well, I think the Kings, you know, because the way things have gone this year for them, you know, it's been a year that, you know, they haven't, reached their, their expectations. I think Jake, one of those players that has had a decent year for the Kings, and I think he draws the attention. I think probably if, you know, the Kings on the market, you know, if they're looking to move other players, they might not have the return as high as what Jake has. So I think it's a situation because of his performance on a positive note that, you know, kind of, you know, attracted the Maple Leafs and also allowed the Kings to be able to get what they were looking for in return, being a first round pick and a couple of prospects as well. So, you know, Jake's a player that, you know, you'd love to have on your team. Believe me, it's not an easy move for Rob Blake and the Kings to make. You hate giving up players like that. He's been, you know, he's been a great King. He's played almost 500 games as a King, a couple of times Stanley Cup winner. So he's got everything that you look for, but, you know, I think at this stage, From the Kings' standpoint, you know, they have to make some moves, and unfortunately, they have to give up a really good player in Jake Muzzin, both on and off the ice. He's been great in the community, and they're going to miss him. But I think as they move forward, if they're the pieces that they're looking for, and depending on where they are in the draft this year, not necessarily look at it as a rebuild. It's just a little bit of a transition, and hopefully they'll be able to get themselves back to the stage where they want to be, and that's a playoff team, and then to become a cup contender again.
Radio analyst for the LA Kings, Daryl Evans, joining us here on the Blair Show. No Jeff Blair, George Russick, Brian Dunstan, along the on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Daryl, you talked about his offensive upside, but he's been a guy, he's been a penalty killer. What did he mean to the LA Kings, PK, for his time in Los Angeles, and what are the Leafs getting when they're shorthanded with Muzzin on the ice?
Well, you get a big body that can, that can compete in the corners and win those one-on-one battles. He makes good selection as to, clearing pucks out. He's not a guy that panics. I think he understands the league very well. It's going to be a transition, definitely playing in the East. You're not as familiar with as many of the players, but I think he's got the hockey IQ to be able to make those adjustments in front of the net. He's a nasty player to play against. He'll play you heavy. He'll play you hard. But he's going to play you clean. He's a player that doesn't take a lot of penalties. He's got the team in the back of his mind in everything that he does. He's not a selfish player. So, the opposition, when he's on the penalty kill, you can look and count on him to get pucks out on the first attempt. And, those battles around the net, he's going to win a lot of those battles. He's definitely got a competitive edge. And, when you look at the situation that he's going to walk into Toronto, he's going to be on a playoff team. And he's going to be excited to play in that. So they're going to get a very competitive player that's got an edge to his game, and will bring him an element that I think the Maple Leafs have definitely been looking for the last few years.
Daryl, I'm sure we're obsessed with the Maple Leafs in this city, and we're really concerned about the Leafs not acquiring a right-handed defenseman. Do you think it'd be an issue for Jake Muzzin to play the right side, even though he's left-handed?
Not really. He's played both sides. I think there's a demand right now for those right-handed defensemen, and especially the ones at the elite level that have established themselves in the NHL right now. But I think Jake has the ability, especially with the partner that he plays with. We'll see where he gets paired up there in Toronto. But he's an easy player to play with. I think one thing that you can count on, that players that come from the Kings that have been with the Kings, let's say over a period like Jake has, I think you can know and guarantee that they're going to be very trustworthy in their own zone. It's been a defensive minded structure here for a number of years, and that's something he'll bring to Toronto. So with their run and gun style, their ability to be able to push the pace of the game, I think his style will complement that. He'll make the simple sound plays in the defensive zone. And he can do it from either side. Again, depending on who he plays with, I think he's going to be an easy fit because, his partner's going to be able to find him and know where he's going to be. He's very predictable as a partner on the ice, and he'll succeed with him.
You talk about his abilities on the ice. Let's talk about his abilities in the dressing room. He's coming into a dressing room that, for the most part, is dominated by young players on their way up to superstardom in this league. How does a guy like Jake Muzzin fit into a locker room like the Leafs?
Well, I think he'll go in and he'll feel his way around. You talk about a locker room that's dominant with young players, and a lot of young, potential superstars or current superstars. I think he definitely has to draw their attention. If otherwise it'll be a test of their character. I mean, if you've got a guy that comes in and, last handful of years has won a couple of Stanley Cups and he's still in the prime of his career, I think you have to take a look at, first of all, the way he approaches the game, his daily habits, the way he approaches practice, his work ethic and things like that. And then when the voice comes out, your ears should be open. So I think he'll draw the attention. I think it's something that the Leafs are looking for in their locker room. I don't know their locker room inside and out. I know they've got some character leaders in there. I know they've made some changes over the last couple of years. But this is a player that, had a voice in the Kings locker room. And I think he'll be able to, draw, those young players towards him, early on, just to, especially as they get, prepared for a playoff run here. And I think, once he establishes himself and, you know, feels like he's part of it on the ice, I think you'll even see him even flourish even more and become more of a dominant figure in that locker room.
Daryl, before I let you go, obviously it's been a struggle for the LA Kings this season, and that's a team potentially they'll be in the lottery to maybe be in that Jack Hughes sweepstakes and, you know, maybe get right back to being a prominent team in the NHL. How far away are the Kings, you know, to get back to it? Because you still have cornerstone pieces in Andrei Kopitar, in Drew Doughty. How far away are the Kings to being relevant again and one of the top teams in the NHL?
Well, I think you have to really erase, you know, what has gone on with the Kings this year. I don't think this is a reflection of, you know, the type of team that they are. You know, the players that you just mentioned, you know, Jonathan Quick is still amongst the elite goaltenders in the NHL. Drew Doughty, arguably the best defenseman in the NHL. Andrei Kopitar, a great two-way centerman in the NHL. You know, they've had a couple of guys that have not, you know, achieved what the Kings expected of them this year. The Jeff Carters, the Tyler Toffolis. They moved Tanner Pearson early in the year. And, you know, that line was being looked upon to get a lot of offense. So I don't think it's that far off. They need a couple of the young players that, you know, that they've acquired in the last couple of years through the draft. You know, guys like Kempe, Iafallo to take their game to the next level. You know, if Velarde can find his way into the Kings lineup, you know, here's a player that they, you know, they look to, you know, really take a prominent role in their lineup. Kapari, that was their first pick last year. And, you know, so I think, you know, it's not that far away, but a couple of these young players have to step in and take that next step. I think it's that secondary layer that the Kings are lacking right now. And if they can establish that through either those players or whatever they acquire going down the stretch here or free agency in the offseason, I think that'll determine how quick it kind of turns around next year.
Was signing Ilya Kovalchuk a mistake?
I don't think so. I think Ilya Kovalchuk, again, when you look at where the Kings were last year, and, you know, include myself, like, you know, selfishly, I wanted to see the Kings play against the Golden Knights in the playoffs. I think, you know, just because of the Kings' impact on bringing the Golden Knights, you know, into the NHL all the years they spent there doing the Frozen Fury and that, you wanted to get in that matchup. I think when you look at the matchup, you know, in the four games, one of the games going to double overtime, and if you would have told me that the Kings are going to hold the Golden Knights to seven goals over those four games, I would have told you the Kings are probably going to sweep the series. Unfortunately, they were held to three goals. You know, and then they get a healthy Jeff Carter after he missed 60 games last year. You add Ilya Kovalchuk, you know, you probably figure you've added 50 goals. Maybe you pull back a few on Kopitar, maybe pull a few back on Brown. But it should be a team that should have added a lot more offense. In a perfect world, I think a two-year contract with Kovalchuk, you would have loved it. But I think when, you know, you look at the contract that Patrick Marleau got with the Maple Leafs, it was a three-year deal. So it was basically the same deal there. But Kovalchuk's not a player that's going to hurt you. I think his ability to put the puck in the net is still there. He excels on the power play. His work ethic, I think he establishes himself in the locker room, both on and off the ice. You know, he's always the last guy off the ice. He's in the gym. He's always doing a little bit extra, and that's what allows him to play here. So I think he's not a guy that he's going to take the team on his shoulders, but I think he's a guy that can complement a core that is, you know, that is playing up to their capability. So I still think, at the end of the day, it's not a contract that's going to kill him. I know there's a couple of years left on it, but I think if everybody else fits to their role, I think Kovalchuk can contribute and make a difference in a lot of games for the Kings.